in the early 1800s, and notice that this is about 50 years before there was anything like Bible students or Watchtower movement, something significant happened amongst the people who were studying the Bible. They were struggling with the various scriptures that talked about the Lord's return. The conflict seemed to be that there were some descriptions of the second presence seemed like it was a secret. For example, 1 Thessalonians 5:2, the Lord will come as a thief in the night. This meant the return would be largely unseen and that the readers had to watch so they were not surprised. But there was a problem because on the other hand, there were scriptures that said his return would be obvious. Revelation 1:7, every eye shall see him. One says it's a secret, one says it's obvious. This seemed to be a conflict. What the students noticed was that when the scriptures they were discussing were on the Lord's second presence, different Greek words were used. It wasn't like it was one Greek word that was always used to identify the second presence. There were actually three different Greek words used when talking about the Lord's return. So the students wondered why different words. As early as 1820 in England, the idea was put forth that perhaps the second coming happened in two steps. Perhaps the first step was like a secret, almost totally unseen, and that would be like the thief in the night. And then a second step that was visible. Every eye shall see him. The Greek words seem to support this idea because one word meant present, but the other two words meant obvious, appearing, manifest, bright shining, revealed. This line of thought resulted in a set of beliefs that presented a two-step second presence. Step one, secret, only visible to a few. Step two, a manifestation of the presence to everyone, to every eye. Today, I want to briefly discuss how in particular one of the Greek words supports this idea. And I want to discuss why writers like the Apostle Paul used this specific Greek word to describe the second step of the Lord's second presence. The first priority in Paul's mind would be that he had to make the ideas that he was teaching clear to his audience. He is going to use words that they understand. So he uses one particular Greek word that everyone was familiar with. Everyone knows this word. This word was no secret. Young people knew the word. Old people knew the word. Everybody knew the word. The Greek word is epiphania. Now here's how the word was used in Paul's day. The word came from the Greek theater. The Greeks loved their theater. We know that some of those ancient buildings, the theaters, the amphitheaters, they still exist. They were large and greatly used back in Paul's day. The Greeks would present plays and dramas in these large outdoor stone amphitheaters. They had many famous writers, men like Sophocles, Euripides, Aristophanes, who wrote very popular dramas, comedies, and tragedies. Some of us had to read those writings in school. Imagine, those plays were written over 2,000 years ago. In some respects, all the stories were very similar. Let me simplify how the stories generally were presented. Step number one, the writer would create a very complicated situation. Two, the writer would make the situation more and more complicated to the extent that there was no solution. Three, this impossible situation would go on and on until it seemed that there was no hope. Four, suddenly a Greek god, frequently Apollo, would appear. And to everyone's surprise and pleasure, the Greek god would solve the unsolvable problem. Step five, everybody went home happy. Typically, the major steps were complicated situation, situation gets worse with no solution in sight, everyone loses hope, then the Greek god appears and solves the problem. Now, there was always one more trick that the writers used. Remember that all the Greek actors wore masks, so it was difficult, if not impossible, to tell who was who. So what did the writers do? The writers would have this Greek god, the eventual problem solver, sneak onto the stage, hidden behind a mask, and be on the stage for some period of time while the situation was seemingly getting worse and worse. Yes, the situation was getting worse and worse, but the problem solver was there on the stage, hiding behind a mask. Almost no one could tell who the hidden problem solver was. He was hidden in the small crowd on the stage. And this same storyline was repeated in many plays time after time. Maybe it was repeated in hundreds of Greek plays. They were almost all the same. One, bad situation, unsolvable situation. Then a god hiding behind a mask sneaks onto the stage. And at the moment when all hope is lost, the mask is removed, and the Greek god solves this unsolvable problem. That storyline was expected in the minds of every Athenian, every Corinthian, every Greek, every Macedonian, every adult, every child who went to the theater. It was a generic storyline. Now back to our Greek word. You know that in sporting events and in public performances, different parts of the performance or the production have a specific name. If I say halftime, every sports fan knows what that means. Halftime. It means the event is half completed. If I say overture to a concert goer, they know it means opening, opening of the concert, overture, an encore, that's at the end. All these words have specific meanings and specific timings. And so it was in the Greek theater with the word epiphania. It was a very specific time in the drama. The epiphania was the exact moment their Greek god took off his mask. It was the dramatic moment when the person who had the solution made himself manifest and obvious. It was the moment the solution was clear to everyone in the audience. The crisis was solved. The problem was over. That moment was always called the epiphania. When the scriptures talk about the epiphania, that's exactly what is being talked about. That specific event, the manifestation of the solution. You see why the Apostle Paul used this word? Do you see how this word from the theater fits into God's plan? And how it fits into the story of the second presence? Step one, the impossible situation is the permission of evil. It's called the present evil world. It's a mess. Step two, the hopeless situation getting worse and worse. It's called the time of trouble. The spirit being, step three, our returned Lord, who has the solution, is quietly slipped onto the stage, but he's behind a mask. That quietly slipping onto the stage is the first step of the second presence. Step four, then at the opportune time, the mask is removed. And the unsolvable problem is solved. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. We live in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, in whose epiphania will judge the living and the dead. Titus 2, 13. And while we live in this life, we hope and wait for the glorious epiphania of the great God and of Jesus Christ, our Savior. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume and destroy with the epiphania of his presence. My dear brethren, don't lose patience because the epiphania is still ahead of us. Don't lose patience because the mask is still on. 1 Timothy 6:14. Keep the commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the epiphania of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.